This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
You're in your office there, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
You got a poster behind you there. Is that your old one?
That's the old one I put in here. That's which is the movie poster.
Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a nice little app. I mean, the new one that I purchased, the it's called Movie Digital Boards.
Yeah.
Movie Poster Digital Board, something like that. They're out of Texas.
Yeah, it's I looked them up when you told me about them. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, they're it's more plug and play, that one, you know. It uses the app for your phone or your app on your iPad, and it's kind of like plug and play. So this one here is a little tricky to get up and running.
Yeah.
This one is movieposterapp.com is this one. And the software for the computer is free.
Yep.
But it's a little tricky, and the guy's not really supporting it anymore.
Oh.
You know, so, but it works. I mean, it really works well.
Cool.
And it has a plug-in for the Kaleidoscape. So when I turn on the Kaleidoscape, it'll tell me what's playing on here.
Oh.
It gives you the start time and the end time.
Oh, cool.
You know?
Yeah. So it's, you did tell me about that back. I mean, you've had that one for what, like a year or so?
A year or so now, yep.
Yeah. And that's something that I actually want to do, like, behind me. That poster that's behind me here. And, like, to be able to have that, like, over my shoulder while I'm recording would be pretty cool. And even if it was just to feature the movie that I'm talking about or something like that, you know?
Right. And you could do that. You could feature just one poster and just let that play in the background.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I keep meaning to delve into that with you and be like, hey, how do we set this? But then, of course, life takes over and you get, it's like, that's pretty cool.
I know.
But I do like that other one that you got, and it was like, it's like $2,000, but at the end of the day, it's like, you got to buy a TV for that, for the one that's behind you now. And
correct.
Like, yeah, it is a little more expensive, but like you said, it's more it's easier to use from what you're saying.
Well, this is the thing, right? With this one, right? To do it really right, that's just a TV hanging
sideways,
in the opposite, you know, in the opposite direction. So this one is nice, but if you put in the effort to make it look like the one from Digital Movie Boards, it'll cost you about the same.
Yeah.
So really, you know, like that one, the TV that they use on that one is a 4K Samsung.
Okay.
All right. And it uses a small mini PC that kind of like is Velcro to the back of the TV.
Okay. So it's like a Raspberry Pi Velcro to the back of the television. It's like, and they sell
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And then you have to get the framing. So that one had a framing done, right? And mine was initially a silver one, but it had flexures on it. So he replaced it for me, right? And the replacement came from Home Depot. not Home Depot, Hobby Lobby.
Oh, nice.
So he switched it out for me, and then I went to pick it up in the Hobby Lobby over here.
Oh, cool.
So you put all that together, it basically comes out to almost the same amount of money.
Right.
You know, almost that $2,000.
Yeah.
$2,000, you know?
And then... But that one doesn't have the Kaleidoscape plug-in yet, does it?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
You did say that they were working on it or something, right? Or
they're working on it, yeah. Yeah, the gentleman told me they're working on it, on getting that plug-in. He also told me that he was trying to buy this program from the gentleman who does this program. But the guy wouldn't, he doesn't want to sell it. It's just there, and he's making money off of it. Because if you don't donate, it's like a $10 donation for the program. And if you don't, it'll have a banner in the bottom of the poster that says, no donation or something that you don't want there.
Right? Exactly. So it's like, I'm too cheap. Keep scrolling across the bottom. Yeah, like, outside of your multi-$1,000 theater, I'm too cheap. Right. Just keep scrolling.
Right. That's but fantastic. I have seen a, I've seen a lot of people using this one, this particular, the one behind me.
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, when you did that one, like you said, like over a year ago or so, you sent me some links of other people using it on YouTube, and it seems fairly straightforward once you get it up and running. But yes, it was, like you said, it was a little tricky to get it going. But you're so hands-on with that stuff. You're so good at that stuff.
Well, you know, it's just that I like it, you know, so when you like something, you kind of like get into it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and you want to learn sometimes, and I'm one of those guys that, you know, let me see if I could do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that was the approach that I did now with my new home theater since I moved here. When I got to this home, I found a contractor nearby, which who was really good. And he built out the home theater, but it was my design all the way through. So I would tell him, okay, this is what I want here, and this is what I want there. And he, you know, he did it for me. You know, there's a lot of things that I wanted to do more of, like more soundproofing and stuff like that. But then it just became a little too costly.
Yeah.
You know, so I did the double walls, you know, the double sheetrock walls with the green glue in between.
Yeah.
So that helps. And I'm in the basement, and above me is a sunroom.
Oh, okay.
All right. So it's not that bad. Even in the evening when I'm watching things very close to reference level, my wife is fine sleeping in the bedroom across the house, you know. So but the home theater came out, we just finished it, the guy just finished it maybe 2 months ago now.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so I was waiting.
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I was waiting for the screen from Stuart for the longest of times. That was the last thing that finally came in, and that was a forget it. That took like almost five months to get.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't you order that like before you'd even left the old house?
Right after I left.
Oh, it was after you know? It was after you left.
Right after I left. Once I figured out that I wanted to do a 240 screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Which I want to talk to you about also.
Oh, we're going to have lots of fun with that one, I'm sure. But hey, let me let the listeners in on this. This is huge. You don't even know. I didn't know this until yesterday. I asked you what last week or whatever, like Friday or something like that, if you wanted to come on this week, right? Nelson, my man, you were the first one to come on Take Over Tuesday back in February, right? This is also the anniversary, actually tomorrow, as this airs on the 30th, right? The 31st was last year was the first Takeover Tuesday I ever did. Like,
that's crazy, right?
Isn't it? It's like, I was just going through my notes of like, different, you know, shows. I'm like going through all the shows and I was like, oh, look at this. I was like, oh my, when was my first Takeover Tuesday? I was like, it was the 31st of last year. And I'm like, holy crap. Oh, wow. Nelson's coming on tomorrow. I just figured it out yesterday. I'm like, Nelson's coming on with me tomorrow. And I'm like, he was the first guest I had on the Takeover Tuesday in February when I actually went that way. So I was like, that's crazy. It's like, yeah,
time flies.
Yeah. Time flies, but I didn't plan it that way, but it's huge. I mean, it's a one anniversary of Takeover Tuesday and it's evolved into this and here you are back again. And, we're talking about your theater. Obviously you were supposed to be on HT tours with us way back when we were starting that, but you were like, right. You texted us like, I'm moving. Everything got boxed up.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's right.
We're definitely going to be featuring your new one because it's your old one was beautiful. Be seen on the website. I think you were the first, person on my website too? I think you might have been.
No, I think I was like one of the first.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I started listening to you with the podcast that you did with Rob.
Oh, okay.
The one, you know, there was a when you were doing more movie stuff, movie reviews, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm getting back to that, Busta.
That's what prompted me to listen to you.
I know.
the sights, the sounds, the scenes.
I know. I got to get back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and yeah, you were one of the first home theaters, and you did, you had an amazing home theater, and you were, you at that time, you had the Zapiti, and yep. I'd never heard of, well, I didn't know I had heard of Zapiti, and then, right. Yeah, then I think I had another listener the next week had a Zapiti as well, so that was two theaters I featured in a row with Zapitis, and yeah. Then, of course, like a month or so later, I got my own. And I think that was the same fall you got your Kaleidoscape too.
Yeah, that's right. It's been about a little bit over a year that I've had the Kaleidoscape now.
Yeah. Yeah, almost know, 2 years. I think you'll have it. It'll be two years in this. Yeah, it'll be 2 years this fall because you got it right around Christmas time, right?
Right, right. That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It was during the pandemic. That's right.
Yeah.
That first year of the pandemic. That's right.
Yeah, you got, yeah, just, yeah. 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 Wow, crazy.
I started a little part-time job during the pandemic, and that's when I picked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sneaky little devil, you. hey, speaking of that, with the Kaleidoscape, it's been a while since you got your Kaleidoscape. You and I have been holding on to this little bit of information mm-hmm. about Kaleidoscape. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell everybody, now I didn't know which way to go with this, but you and I have talked about it since, but you found mm-hmm. something when you first got your Kaleidoscape, and mm-hmm. this is going to be fun, I think, because mm-hmm. we're going down a rabbit hole here, but why don't you tell everybody what happened when you first got your Kaleidoscape?
Oh, with Star Wars?
Yeah. It all goes back to Star Wars, my friend.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the movies that I think you and I both watch first when we get a new format, right?
Yep.
Because it's like, you know the movie so well.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened was when I first got the Kaleidoscape, you know, you go through the stages of you know, looking at it and making sure that things are looking right and making sure that what you're paying for is really worth what you're purchasing, right?
Mm.
And I bought the Kaleidoscape and I noticed some issue with a certain scene in the beginning of the movie where the chroma alignment was incorrect, where it would, there was a red light above the door when Darth Vader walks in. It was like, it was off alignment, you know, like the red was bleeding out.
Right.
On these little lights that were right above it. And when I compared it to the Blu-ray, the UHD disc on the Panasonic, it wasn't there. So I immediately got on the phone with Kaleidoscape and told them, look, you know, this is what I'm seeing, you know, can you guys check it out and let me know if you see it the same way? Within a day or two, they got right back to me and told me, yeah, we see it, you know, we'll work on it. We'll fix it. But we do see it and we'll fix it. And I said, fantastic. I didn't think that they would, you know, because it's, you know, it's like, who am I, right? Who am I?
Right.
I'm just a regular consumer, you know, who's seeing a problem with it. And for them to make that, to do that fix on it was very, very satisfying. It made me feel like, okay, I purchased something that I'm going to be happy with for a while because their reaction was quick.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even something that they got back to me to say anything to me. It was just done. I looked at it a few weeks later. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't look the same now. And then I took the disc out, right, and compared it again. And I'm like, oh, okay, they seem to have fixed it. So then I contacted them, and they say, yes, we've been working. We want to make it even better. So so I was like, wow, this is great. You know, this is when, was it Brett?
Bjorkqvist. Yep.
Yeah, when he was there. And. And I had mentioned it to him too. So I think, you know, between him and the people that I spoke to in customer service, they were able to jump on that issue right away and take care of it. You know, it's like this, DJ, the Kaleidoscape is great, you know, mm-hmm. And Blu-rays are great, right? If you buy a UHD disc, they're great too. It's just another way of watching movies, right? In the end, But when you purchase something that's, you know, the expense of a kaleidoscope, and they're saying that it's the best product out there. In the beginning, I got a little disappointed when I saw that, but their reaction to the issue, you know, after that, I was like, this is fine. I'm gonna always keep this kaleidoscope, because it's like, it makes things easy, you know, to just go through your movies, go to your covers and look through your movies and pick a movie. But there's some discs that, you know, that are still fine. I haven't come across one disc that actually looks better than the kaleidoscope.
No.
I've seen a lot of discs that match in quality,
right,
you know, to the kaleidoscope. I think the way they do their compression and the way they're doing their transferring, I think they're top notch. I think they have top people doing it. But so do the studios too. Like, you know, you get a disc, you know, some studios, because obviously I think Disney Studio needs to up their game with their disc file size.
But do they though? I you and I have talked about this off air, obviously. We've had this conversation, and I don't see, and you've heard me say it on air too. I get why they're doing it the way they're doing it. Right. Especially after Jurassic World came out, Dominion, and Jeff from HD Report, he tweeted out, tagged me in the tweet saying, is anybody else getting this? He tagged a bunch of people, and their discs were dropping out. Their players were dropping out. And it's usually that lesser player. Right.
Right. Right.
And what's sad is Jeff had like a $250 Sony player. You'd think at $250 price point, that would be a decent player. But now here's what I found interesting is those 4K discs, those were 100 gigabyte discs, right? Three layers. But to have both the theatrical and the extended, that's 150 something gigs. So they're still compressed. Now, they were still having trouble. Maybe that was why they were having trouble getting through and people were having that issue. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine, like, now Disney doesn't have that problem. You don't, those discs very rarely fail, from what I understand, inside those players. So do you see what I mean? Like, the masses don't really care about the stuff we care about, right?
Right, right. But it could have been that issue that he might have had. Maybe it was just that player.
Right.
You know, maybe that player is giving him that issue. Because I have the disc. And I have it on kaleidoscope.
Same here.
And right. So I wanted the DTS:X sound, and I did some comparisons. We'll talk about that. but it could be a player issue.
Yeah.
You know, cause my 9000 played it back perfectly. I don't know. You probably watched it on your Panasonic as well.
Yeah. My A20. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was fine. So, I mean, do they care? I hope they do. I mean, I still like having disc, you know, because I'm a collector.
Right.
Right. So I still like having my disc. I mean, and I like having the best quality also, but not everything needs to be that great quality.
Right.
You know?
Oh yeah.
It really doesn't, you know, like I have a bunch of 4Ks from Shout Factory. Right. I just picked up Child's Play, which is an older movie, you know.
Yeah.
I really need to get that in 4K. I mean, there's improvements, of course, right? But I mean, you know.
Right.
Right. So I'm very selective of what I get on the kaleidoscope. And if it's a favorite film, I'm getting it.
Right.
I just picked up Top Gun. I picked up Jurassic, you know, the new Jurassic Park. I picked up Elvis. You know, if it's something that I really like, you know, that I'm really into, I'm going to pick up that version of it.
What'd you think of Elvis?
It was good.
I haven't talked a lot about that, and I love that movie, but we've just been inundated with Jurassic World and then Top Gun Maverick. And it's like, I think Elvis isn't really, I'm hoping to give that a lot of love when the disc drops, and that should be dropping soon. No, I think the disc comes out in September, right? If I remember right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I love that
movie. And so does something else that's coming out during that time. There's a few titles coming out, but Elvis was good.
Yeah.
Elvis was good. It had good sound. I mean, it had appropriate sound. It wasn't bombastic. You know, No. You don't really need. The best sound quality of to me that I was that the NBC studio that they did, you know, the one they did at the TV in the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
That he had the black leather outfit.
Yeah.
That sounded great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, very atmospheric, but a lot of surround sound and a lot of overhead.
That's what I kind of liked about that track too. As the movie plays out, you did experience those different sounds in the different studios, starting early on when he was at the early studio, right? And right. Or at the carnival, or but you had, as that movie played on, and then at the end, you're in Vegas. You did experience those different sounds in your room and the different, right. You know, reverberations, if you will, kind of like going right. Through your old Yamaha and selecting church mode and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I kind of liked about that. And it was funny, it did have some nice bass to it, but it was appropriate because it was music, right? It still didn't, it didn't have the Top Gun bass or even, Sonic 2. Did you happen to watch Sonic 2? No, I know. It is an amazing home theater experience, though.
It looks great, I bet, right? Because all the colors.
Oh, yeah. It's a video game come to life. So it's like, you've got a great theater. You got a great experience going there. You don't need to take it in, but it is an amazing. The bass in that movie is just, it's awesome. Awesome. Very crisp and lots of it.
Yeah. But that's another thing, right? Like you just mentioned, I got to take it in one day. Guess what I can do if I want it with the Kaleidoscape, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, the Kaleidoscape overall is, it's inexpensive. We always talk about how expensive it is. But once you're in it and you manage your downloads, you don't really need to get, what do you have? The Terra?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
I got the Terra 12, and I'm constantly 15 away. I have like how many movies? I might be 30 to 40 movies unloaded already,
right?
And I'm 15 away, so I'm well over 200. To your point, once you're in the ecosystem, it's so simple to buy a movie. You're like, I need that one. Click.
I pre-ordered. I don't know how they did that. I pre-ordered Top Gun, and then it showed downloaded into my system.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But I wasn't able to see it just yet. And then as soon as a certain time, I was trying to stay up to see how it.
I know. It's funny. You know what? It's funny we're talking about this. Another coincidental thing. Luke is coming on this podcast. I'm recording with him on Wednesday. The Luke from Kaleidoscape. Who was on AV Nirvana last week.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was great. Good. And he's coming on here. I'm not sure if we're going to have... I don't know what happened with his video, but that'll be in Friday's podcast. But we're recording on, Wednesday. You and I are talking here on Monday. So I'm recording with Luke on Wednesday about that. And, was it Top Gun I ordered? I didn't get it right. Maybe it was Elvis. Something that when I first bought it, it told me what it was? It was the Snyder Cut. I bought the Snyder Cut, and as soon as I bought it, it said it's downloaded. I was like, all right. But then it was like a week late, and it kept sitting there, and I kept checking my phone, and I'm like, nope, it says I have it downloaded, but then you go and you turn your Kaleidoscape on, and it's not there.
It's not there yet.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, you're teasing me. But on the AV Nirvana one, Luke said that I think it's like they do that on purpose so that, if you've pre-ordered it, it'll be downloaded, ready to go. And then all you need is the permission. And that takes like 2 seconds and boom, then you'll have it right away.
How awesome is that, right?
Oh, it's so awesome. I can't wait to ask him too. I'm like, because he said on AV Nirvana, he's like, as soon as your Kaleidoscape accesses the permission at midnight in your region. So it's not even like midnight California or anything like that, right? So I'm like, I want to ask him, like, how do you get, like, can I bump my Kaleidoscape and make it look for a permission? because I don't want to sit there. Boo-boo. I'm like, is there a way to just keep hitting refresh or something? Right?
Yeah, I tried. Yeah.
So
I tried the same thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ask him that because I'll be like, I want to know. I'm like,
But it is
cool. It is cool. But yeah, it's so simple. It's so simple. The ecosystem's so easy that you just like, I'll be at work and I'll be like, download. Oh yeah. Right. Or listeners tell me all the time. I'm like, another movie we're talking about, John and I will be talking about on Friday, Hunter Killer. And we talked about it, I guess, last week. And then somebody, I got a message from a listener saying, yeah, that's a great movie. I was like, you know what? You're right. So I downloaded it and went home and watched it.
It's so dangerous to sitting at that button, man.
Oh, it is. I've set myself up like a budget for the month on what I can spend. And it's like, you know, 1 month. Early on, I was like, I don't mind going over a little bit this month. But now it's kind of evened out because I've got most of what I need. And now it's like new releases and stuff and listeners.
Right.
They're killing me.
Right. And yeah. So, and then with your system, my system, the Strato S, takes about 45 minutes to an hour to download a UHD. So, with yours, I think it takes what, 15 to 20 minutes or less?
10 to 20, I would say. Like, if I went on mine right now and said, like, you can look and see how long it took. Some of them were like 10 minutes, some are 15. If I try to download at like 7 o'clock at night when everybody in the neighborhood is downloading and stuff, it could take 25 minutes. But that has, that's my infrastructure to the house, right?
Right. That's great.
But if I'm like I said, like Hunter Killer, if I looked and that might have taken 10 minutes, but I was at work. So nobody's home during the day. And I just click, I have it set up to download in the middle of the night. Just so that I don't put that big, internet suck on the house in case my wife's watching TV. But if I know nobody's home in the middle of the day, I'll just hit download. I'll just force it through and it'll go through. Right. It'll take like 10 minutes. It'll be there when I get home.
Right. So,
but yeah, it is faster. It is faster.
Yeah. I mean, so you get a system like that, right? And you get, you know, the hard drive that it comes with. It's what does it bring as far as your hard drive space?
12. That's the 12. The Terra 12 is a 12 terabyte. Yep.
Right. And I mean, I think you're set. I mean, if you manage it correctly, right, you're pretty much set. Unless you want to have everything available to you quicker than 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because think about it. If let's say you keep all your favorites and stuff that you don't really watch as much, you have it in the cloud, right? And you have it in their library. All you have to do is push the button and you get it in 20 minutes.
Right. Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. It's like I could just hit it and it'd be like, boop, boop, there you go. You go and make your popcorn or whatever. It's as long as you can manage it. But I don't know, Nelson, buddy. I'm like, I'm Jones.
Yeah.
I want to get the, I do want to upgrade to, not upgrade, but add on the 24. Then I'll be done. You know, like,
you'll never be done.
No, I know. Well, no.
You'll never be done.
I know, but I can put the money elsewhere. We're never done. Right? We're never done. We're spending money on poster art.
Exactly.
I told my wife the other day, so we're in the process building a house. We're still looking for land right now, but we may be adding my parents on, doing an in-law, right? And save them some money and then I can just run, they can just live under my roof and their internet's paid for and blah, blah, blah. Right.
So I said, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. So I'm like, I said to my wife, I go, you think they want a kaleidoscape? Cause I could throw a server over there and they could just run off of mine.
Exactly.
And my wife's like, no. One, she doesn't want to spend the money on that server for that. Not the server, but the Terra C, right? She goes, or the Strata C. She goes, she don't want to do that. And she goes, what would they do with it? I go, they don't have a theater. They don't. I'm like, I don't know. I even told her, I go, I could put one in the bedroom. She goes, no.
Apple TV is enough.
Exactly. She's like, she never puts her foot down about this stuff. She goes, we don't watch movies in the bedroom. I go, but we could. And she goes, and would we? I go, no, I'd get up and go downstairs. I go, but I could do it. I just like
it. And the kaleidoscope allows for that too. So, you know, when you put it all together and, you know, you think about the pricing, but everything else you're getting with it.
Yeah.
It's really not too bad, you know? It's just that initial amount, since it's so much, it's difficult for a lot of average, you know, guys that, you know.
It's an end game thing for people like us. It's definitely an end game product. And I don't mean like we're at the end of our home theater stuff, but it's it's like, I mean, we've upgraded to the point that most of the stuff in our theater is like, you're getting minimal tweaks here and there with everything else. That it's like, all right, now you can do this. And it's like, and I tell people that all the time. I'm like, oh, should, you know, they're first starting out in home theater. Well, what's this kaleidoscope thing? Don't worry about it. It's like, actually, I did tell one buddy of mine who's like loaded, like ridiculously. Right. And I was like, you might actually like this. He had his theater built in his basement. He's got a bar and he's got it's an amazing theater. And it's something that like, they just throw the kids in. They don't even care. They don't, they don't care about like quality or anything like that. No. They just spent the money and just were like, this is a great theater, right?
Yeah. That's what a lot of people do.
Yeah. And I'm you might like the kaleidoscape because the money isn't an object. So, and it's just form and function for them. And that's why I was like, you might actually really enjoy it. So I don't know if he did it or not yet, but you should look into that. Yeah. But
so it's good. The kaleidoscape is good. I mean, if the listeners are out there and they're interested in something like that, they won't be disappointed. I can tell you that.
No,
it's a good quality, you know. And again, the majority of people, what they're going to want though is like an Apple TV or a Roku.
Yeah,
the way it is, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, you have. Did you get your new Zapedi?
I did actually. Yeah, I did get the new Zapedi. I got the Zapedi signature.
Okay. Yeah,
it's good. It's nice. It's not a kaleidoscope.
No, but it's not. Another one of my listeners been on. He's been on Takeover Tuesday twice. Johnny Speakers. He grabbed one, and he got one of the new ones. I think he got the lower one. The newest one. But he loves it, and it's there's a lot of nice features with that, and the moving backgrounds now that they have and.
Yeah,
it's when I got mine, it was hey, as close as I can get to a kaleidoscape without getting a kaleidoscape, and it gives you kind of that experience. It really does.
It really does. Yeah, they just did an update where now with the menu system, when you're in 235 mode for people who have you know 240 screens or 235 screens, they used to only have two rows of posters.
Oh, okay.
On the top and on the bottom. Now they made it three, just like the kaleidoscape.
Oh, cool.
The kaleidoscope is, when you have a 235 screen, it's like three rows and a half for the kaleidoscope of posters. They lined it up really nicely on the Zapedi. And once you're in the program, you can go through things pretty quickly, but the initial load of all the posters and everything and all the information takes a little bit, even with this one. It's a little quicker than the Pro, but not that much quicker.
Okay.
And there's new background wallpapers now that you can change to. Like you had the silver background. I think the original one was red. Then they have the silver. Now they have another one called Euro or Oro. It's like a sea color. You know, it's really nice. Quality video, excellent.
Yeah,
it plays back every single file you can think of.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
So yeah, if it's not a kaleidoscape, I think the Zapedi is a good second choice. But there's so many other ones out there now that are very good too.
Are they really?
Yeah. There's another one called Zudu or Zidu.
Yes. I did hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they say that one's pretty nice. And I actually saw the hardware and they're encasing it. There's a guy from Australia that did a review on YouTube on it. And the encasing of it is very nice. It's like a aluminum casing like the Zapedi. So it's a very nice looking piece too. That's so cool. There are competitors out there, but the Zapedi is very good too.
Yeah. Yeah. I should look into that. Cause I have everything I have is on I have the NAS. So adding another media player just to mess with it, see what it's like, you know?
Yeah.
All of it with your, if you have everything in your media, in all your files in a different location, you could,
right.
You could actually access them pretty simply. So
that'd
be fun.
It's good to back up, you know, if you have a lot of discs.
Yeah.
Just to back them up and have them there, you know? I mean, most of the time, since I keep all my movies in a good order to make it easy to look for, you know? Yeah. Like I'm a little crazy when it comes to that stuff, you know, OCD, you know? So like I have everything.
Aren't we all?
So I have it in alphabetical order. Then I have it in studio order. So I know exactly where everything's at.
Right? Yeah.
So when I go get something, you know, similar to what you used to do with your laser disc, you had the album, right? The photo of all your movies, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know. And that back then, geez. In the 90s, I had to go to the Photoshop, Photomat, get them developed, and I get a new Laserdisc. And now I had to pull out the old, because you can't just slide them in and out. They're in the little pages on the three ring binder. So it was like, oh, I got to put in a new page and I got to, oh my God. But it's like, think of the work that we did back then. It just, And that's what I did do that too. I did a video on that, like three ring binder versus a PD.
right. Yeah. So, just the PD is very nice. And having disc it's just, you know, you buy the disc and you put it right onto your PD and it's there available for you. So you don't have to go searching for it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's funny
for some people, space is a big thing, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, because you could. I mean, you could only display the actual like steel books or something, and you put everything else away because it's all right there. On the Zapiti. It was funny, like you were helping me out with an issue when I first got my Zapiti. God knows I had a ton of them at the beginning, but I was like, you were like, go in your room, start it up, right? And I was like, so you went into your theater, I went into mine, and we're on the phone, and I'm like, I started up. And you're like, okay, so it's going to take a little bit for the artwork. I go, oh, no, mine's already up, but I only had like 10 movies in it. And you were like, oh, wait till you get more, because yours was still loading all the artwork.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like, wait till you get more, but you had like a few hundred in there already or something.
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Yeah. And now I'm there, and I'm like, I got like 600 movies in there, and you're like, you're watching it load up, and you're like, okay, I got a minute here.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, the new one's a little bit quicker, but not
a little quicker. You know, I would say if you have the one you have and the one I had, I would say just hold on to that one.
Just hold on to that. It's not. It doesn't really change much.
Not much, you know. Unless this one has more power, I guess, and a better CPU for the future. But for what we're running it and what we're using it for,
yeah,
I think the Pro is enough. You know.
Yeah. Oh, the new ones, don't they have Dolby Vision capability?
Oh, that's right. If you need Dolby Vision. I didn't mention that because we have projectors.
We have projectors. So. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Right. But yeah.
Even though they just there's a company that does a short throw that has Dolby Vision now.
Yeah, my buddy John has one. My co-host.
Yeah.
He has that, I forget the name of it, but it was one of the ones in the face-off that they did.
Yeah, that's right.
Short throw. And I don't know if it has it yet, but it's supposed to be getting it.
Right.
And there was another, so there's actually two short throws that have it because there was another one in there that already did have Dolby Vision, but I mean, those are ultra short throws and that's not exactly the same as a regular projector, but I don't know if projectors will ever get Dolby Vision just because there's stricter standards and stuff because it's all up to Dolby Vision, right?
Right. It's a possibility. It's just hard because of the metadata, you know, that they have to use. You have to have a certain brightness. And how do you determine that brightness with a projector? Because the brightness of a projector is constantly changing on a projector, right?
Right.
So it's hard to say, okay, this projector, we're going to tone map it to 100 nits. But then once your bulb starts dimming, do you have 100 nits anymore, you know?
Right.
Or you weren't at 60. So the Lumigen, right, kind of does that for you because then you can add,
right,
for your tone mapping, those differences so that it can tone map it and look right, you know, and not look
right,
too dark or too bright. So I guess they can do it maybe with a laser, because the laser kind of stays with a laser projector, because the laser stays brighter, you know?
Right.
It doesn't have that constant change like a bulb does.
Yeah. But you're also getting into installation limitations because it depends on how far away you mount your projector. It's going to change the amount of brightness, the contrast and everything.
Right.
Whether it's in a lit room is going to change the contrast and stuff. There's a lot of variables that get added in a projection system that I'm not sure Dolby Vision is willing to go that extra. You know, I'm sure they will, but there's a lot of variables in there. Whereas even with an ultra short throw, some of those variables are taken out because it's it's going to be very close to the wall.
Right,
so
exactly.
They'll have lit room settings and other settings, you know, and they can manipulate all of that. Whereas you put your projector at the back of the room, you could put it 15 feet away, you could put it 20 feet away, you could put it 10 feet away. That's going to change how bright it is.
Right, it's going to be, right. Right.
So, and Dolby Vision has requirements for all that. And,
right. You
know, this has got Dolby Vision, but if they'd have to actually put in installation instructions to get Dolby Vision out of the thing.
We'll see what the future brings.
Yeah.
I think you might see it. I think you might on a laser projector.
Yeah.
And that's basically what's being released now from Sony and JVC, at least. It's all laser. I still got, I got a 4K JVC NX9, which is still a bulb-based projector. But it's pretty bright. I think it's 2,000 or 2,500 lumens projector. So it's still pretty bright. But I tell you what, getting to the home theater side of it, in my home in Jersey, I had a 100-inch Stuart, you know, a four-way masking system, a Stuart. And now I wanted to go a little bigger, so I ended up buying a 235 to get wider.
Yeah.
And I was in low lamp mode for HDR for my 100-inch, right? Here, since I have to go further back, I have to go into highlight mode.
Right, right.
You know, to get the output that's needed for both SDR and HDR. But thankfully, the room stays pretty cool, because that was one of my beefs with the JVC, is that when that room got hot, the fan got louder off the projector, because it has to work harder, right?
Right, right.
So when it got warm and all my equipment was in my other home theater, was in the room.
Yeah.
So I didn't have really good ventilation for the air condition. So in high lamp mode, it would be just too loud, that lamp.
Yeah.
But now it stays pretty cool in the home theater room now, and it stays pretty quiet.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I went from having like low lamp mode. I would normally like to get about 115 to 110 nits for HDR on the projector. And that's pretty good. I think anything that's under that amount just loses the pop of HDR.
Yeah.
Right? So with low lamp mode, I was able to do that without a problem at all in the other home theater. Here in high lamp mode, I have to get that 110 to between 105 and 110 nits, I have to be in highlight mode, you know, on the projector. So,
and how far away are you? How far is the projector from the screen?
About 13 feet now, you know.
Oh, and you were that much closer in Jersey?
Oh, yeah, I was about 10 feet.
And your screen is smaller in Jersey, too, right? It was slightly...
A lot smaller, that's why,
a lot smaller, too. So you narrow that thing down, pull it in tighter, you're getting more light to, you know, instead of dispersing it out on a bigger screen.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. So, but the blacks on the JVC are still fine. Even with this screen that I have, I bought a 235 with the StudioTech 130 G4 material. Yep. And, it's a good combination with this projector. Everything's looking pretty good.
Yeah. What? Yeah. So, how big is your screen now? Like what's the diagonal on it?
If it was a 16:9, it would be 120-inch diagonal. The way it is now, at 240, it's a 240 screen.
Yeah.
It's 113 diagonal.
So it's 113 diagonal on the 240, but then when you, on the 2.4.
So same width that I have now.
Yeah.
If it was a 16.9, it would be 120 inches.
Right. But you'd be adding, screen to the top and the bottom.
Right.
Right. Right.
Which I miss. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I like watching. I don't know. I know how a lot of people have different thoughts about 235 screens. When I had the four-way masking, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 16.9 was perfect for IMAX stuff and things that in that nature with the higher diagonal, the bigger screen. But I had the black bars, but then I masked and it was fine.
Yeah.
Right? To get masking for this size screen, it's just way too much money for what I could afford.
Oh yeah.
You know? And when I purchased the one that I have, the four-way masking, I got that used in some place near us over here in Massachusetts. A guy sold it to me about 15, 16 years ago for a really good price.
Okay.
Right? So now I like my masking. So I didn't want to get the bar. So that's why I went for the 235. But then guess what happens? Top Gun.
Top Gun comes out. I was waiting for you to get to that.
And I'm like, oh, man.
I know.
You know, and it still looks fine. And the Lumen does a great job, with those scenes that are IMAX making it 235.
Oh, you actually had it. So you're running the whole thing with the Lumen at 235.
No, I ran it at 240 because 239. Yeah, 239, 240, so close. So I run it at 240, the aspect ratio. Yeah. And it boxes in that IMAX scene, and it looks fine. Nothing looks out of proportion or anything.
Okay.
You know, it kind of like you lose some of the top and some of the bottom, but it still looks fine. And then the scenes that are not, which is most of the movie, right?
Yeah.
They're fine. They're not being scaled or anything. So it only scales the section that is IMAX.
Right. So you're watching the movie. You're watching the whole entire movie, Top Gun, at the 240.
That's right. No problems.
You're the man.
Right. No problems.
I didn't know that when we were getting into this conversation. I forgot that we talked about that a while ago, too. Yeah. Top Gun hadn't even been talked about being released the last time you and I talked about that.
Right.
Holy crap. That's awesome. I didn't even think of that the Lumigen could run that. Wow. And
yeah. Wow. All you got to do is take... See, you don't know everything about the Lumigen because you don't have a wide screen, but the Lumigen has a great feature that's called auto aspect, right?
Yep.
So what happens, anything that's 235 will be the right aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Anything like that's 220, like Lawrence of Arabia or Game of Thrones, which just came out,
yep.
The new House of Dragons, that's 220, right? It scales that section out. And gives you the image exactly where it has to be on the screen.
Yeah.
So you'll have little sidebars on the side for something like Lawrence of Arabia, which is not as wide.
Right.
But it does it perfectly. Lumigen does that perfectly.
Yeah.
Not an issue at all. But with IMAX movies, I want that experience of that as well. Like, I want to see the movie that way because that's the way it was released.
Right. Oh yeah.
So I want that experience too, right? So I enjoyed Top Gun and it sounded fantastic, by the way.
Doesn't it? Super dynamic. It's the entire movie is so dynamic. It's
right with that music, you know, from the 80s, that beginning.
The opening scene. That bass when they put the Top Gun on the info and it says .. the pilots call it .. And then it comes up there, and that bass hits you. It's just, it's amazing. There's like, I want to say like two levels to it. It's like dun dun, but it's like
each
beat is an extra punch to the chest. Right, you can feel it differently each one. It's like so many, and it's like that throughout the movie. The jets, the engine roars, the right. you know, yep. it, and it's it's
and
not
the subtle things too. Yeah. You know, the subtle things you hear too, and the music playing is fantastic too in the background.
Yeah.
Like all the instruments, you know. And yeah. That's something I want to talk to you about also. But yeah, so going back to the IMAX scenes, so I saw that and I said to myself, man, what can I possibly be able to do? Because I love the 2.35.
Yeah.
But I also want to see the 16.9. And unfortunately, to get 120 inches in this room size,
right,
it just wasn't going to fit. But what if I buy an electrical screen
drop
that's
down
16.9, that's maybe 110.
Yeah, that's inches, mine. That's how big mine is. Yeah,
and then I can get the IMAX. That when I'm watching IMAX films, just hit my remote. That screen comes down. You have 16.9.
That's what Ralph Potts did.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll send you the Ralph sent me. He had that installed. He has not a Stewart. He has a Seymour AV, I think.
Seymour AV, yeah.
I think I'm pretty sure. I'm not. Don't quote me on that. And I apologize for whatever company it is. but no, he sent me a video and of it coming down, and he has his, you know, his 2.35, and then this comes down over it.
No, I think.
Or is he in reverse? He might be in reverse.
No, he has a masking system.
No. He had
them.
No,
the cardio.
I'll send you the video. I'll send you a little video that he sent me, and he did the drop down in front of it. It's an acoustically transparent screen, and it drops down in front of it. And it, one of the things we were saying, I'm like, that is so cool. And that he said the same thing. He goes, it looks great. The room is great. He goes, but the coolness factor. And it is. It's so impressive. Yeah. I can't do that yet. You would be able to do it with your projector. He has a JVC as well, the higher end projectors. Mine's, I can't do it because you have to have lens memory. Because when that drops down in front, now you're a different distance away, and you've got to recalibrate your projector. So like you said, you'd hit your button and everything would happen, right? The screen comes down, your projector goes into a different mode, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I don't have that yet. Uh-huh. Yet. I will.
Yeah.
But I loved that idea. That's a beautiful way to do it. And it's cheaper than masking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the main thing is keeping the quality the same to me.
Right.
That's the main. So I would have to get the same screen material. So it'll have to be a Stewart. So that might take me a little bit of time to do, but that's something that is on my radar for that, you know?
You know,
because there's a lot of movies
that
are IMAX, like,
oh, yeah,
like the Batman movies.
Do you know what's funny? Now, like, so I'm just thinking in my theater, for instance, we all have X amount of space that we could fit a screen, right? Now, in my theater, I don't want to go acoustically transparent. So this is the space in the middle that I can use for my screen. Mm-hmm. It would be cheaper to go with two screens. You could either do a fixed screen, or you could do two electronic screens and just have them go back and forth. And the one that comes down for the 240, boom, it comes down, and that would be a super, like, if you're building a thing, in which I will be, I'm like, I might actually do that. Two drop down screens, and you hit the button and whatever movie it is in the screen, just like at a real movie theater, they adjust the screen for that.
Yeah.
That would be
pretty cool. One of the narrators for ABS Forum has that, where it's two stewards like that drop down.
That drop down back and forth.
Like that, right.
That would be cool. Between. That would be really cool.
You know, so something to consider in the future for sure.
Oh. Always.
Yeah.
So you prefer the 240 flat out always?
Because most movies are 240.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Right? 239, 235.
Yeah.
Right? And it just gives you more of a cinematic feel.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
because it's wide.
Right.
Right? My initial reaction to it was, I always want my movies to feel more like it's a movie, right? In order to do that with a 16.9 screen, you have to get a really big 16:9 screen.
Right.
Which I would have done. I just don't have the room in my home theater to do it.
Right. And that's what I've come to realize over this debate that I've had with multiple people over the last few years about which is better. And it's not, it really has nothing to do with which is better. It's which can you fit?
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, like I said, I've said to people with my screen, I'm like, I have a 16:9 screen. Mm-hmm. I have my own masking I put up. And now once the masking is up, I have a 240, right? A 2.4 screen. That's as big as, if I had just gone with 240, that's as big as it could be. Cause that's as wide as that could possibly fit in that space. Right.
Right. Right.
But why would I want to limit you? Nobody should ever limit themselves on, like, don't not put screen where wall is. You see what I mean? Like, why would I buy a 240 and have all that space above and below my screen when I could screen that too? And then one way or the other, you're going to have to mask or something.
Right.
And it's so, or in your case, you get a Lumigen to run it, and then you can fill your 240 with your IMAX, you know, with your Top Gun feature.
Right. Yeah. The thing is, so room size is big, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, also, what was important is I like having my floor standing speakers, right? Because I'm a hi-fi guy from back in the 80s that likes good stereo sound.
Yeah.
And my entire, throughout my life that I've been into home theater and audio, when I first started, one of the guys that gave me a lot of advice said to me, Nelson, what you want to do is get yourself a really good two-channel stereo system, right? And then work your way out. Mm-hmm. And at that point, when I first got into laser disc days and everything, mm-hmm. the sound quality of movies was just not as good as it is now, right?
No.
So it wasn't as important, right, as a good stereo sound that you would get from your two-channel system. So I've always based my setups and the way I set up my home theater having a good pair of two-channel stereo speakers, mm-hmm. right? So the problem also with widescreen, and when you get too big, is that you can't accommodate your speakers left to right.
Right.
Because then they're going to be between your sitting area and the width of the speakers. You don't want them to be too wide.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you put them behind the screen.
Yeah.
Right. So if music, to me, if music is not as important and you watch more movies than you do music, right, then you could do a transparent screen and the speakers behind it. But then there's negatives too to having a transparent screen, which you know about because you had one, right?
Yeah.
So it comes down to compromising, you know, for your home theater too, right?
Yeah. Well, everything, I can't believe I've said this a lot in the last couple weeks. Like everything about home theater is a compromise, right? It's like everything. And I was DMing Carl, our buddy Carl, who writes in all the time. I'm like, anybody that tells you that they have no compromise in their theater, they might be trying to brag that they have a lot of money, but really what they're telling you is they're very ignorant in home theater because everything, I don't care what it is. And here's how simple it could be. When we're building our theaters, we're trying to duplicate what you get in going to the theater, right?
Right.
Right away. What's the, you could have all the money in the world. You could have a Jeff Bezos, you know, Elon Musk home theater, right? Yeah. What one thing is that you can't have in that home theater? A giant crowd. And on opening night, that's one of the things, we can't duplicate that in our theaters. So that's the compromise. We can't duplicate that part. But when you go to the theater itself, you have that big crowd, but you can't hear those nuances that we can pull out in our theater, right? Because it's more intimate and you've got that, you know, reference level, close to reference level, and you're hearing things that you couldn't hear. And it's like I mentioned the clock ticking in Top Gun, and I'm like, I didn't hear that in the theater. But even if I had heard that in the theater, you know how loud that was over there on the left side of your room. Could you imagine how big that clock would have felt if you even heard that in a giant room? You would have been like, where the hell is that thing? It's like, it would have been like, cause it was loud. It was like, you know?
Yeah.
So there's always compromises. Everything's a compromise. And I learned that long ago with a guy teaching me too. And somebody walked in, I've told the story, and they were like, I just want the best of the best and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, you got to give me a budget. Nope, no budget. Sky's the limit. And he goes, okay. And he opens up a book and shows him speaker cable. And it was like, you know, $10,000 for this. And he's like, oh, for cable? Or it was something crazy, like $500 a foot or ridiculous, right? And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Because you can spend crazy money.
And a lot of money. Yeah.
So, but yeah, everything's a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what you said, what else did you say you had? It's something you wanted to get to. You're like, we'll get to that too.
Oh, yeah. I have some more stuff, so.
Oh, you got your notes?
I'm in a little bit of notes. I listened to your DTSX
Jurassic Park. Yeah. What did you think?
And,
am I in trouble?
It's fine. It's just that it's so good, both formats are so good, Atmos and DTS.
Yeah.
That it just becomes, again, you know, what do you prefer?
Well, because I don't even think it's a preference, because they're both capable of the exact same thing. So are we comparing DTS, Atmos, or are we comparing the sound designers on each one, right?
Right. Yeah. But DTSX, it supports higher bit rate, right, than Dolby Atmos, but...
Does it? I didn't know that.
It has high bit rate, but Dolby claims that their codecs are more efficient, right? So it's like, okay, yeah, you have this, but we have this, and it really washes each other out, you know? So, however, when I was listening to Jurassic Park, because this is like the first... I think this is like... the first movie that I've been able to listen to the DTS version in comparison to the Atmos version.
Right. Nelson, it's so funny. I'm going to be talking about this Friday too, but I've gotten a lot of comments from listeners and they're all saying like, oh, I prefer DTS over Dolby. And I've said to a few of them, I'm like, okay, tell me when you were able to go lossless for lossless on the exact same track, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, because honestly, up until last week, my answer was zero. I've never been able to do it because it's always put out in one or the other. You might hear it somewhere else, but it'll be like DTS 5.1 versus Atmos or vice versa, right? But this is the first time in my memory of where we actually got both. We had access to the same exact track in both lossless format, top lossless object based formats.
Right.
And or any format, even if it was a 5.1 lossless in Dolby or DTS, I've never had this experience before. And we're basing our preference off of like inadequate information because we're just going by like, well, hey, Ready Player One sounded really good in this lossless, and this movie over here, Top Gun, sounded really good in this one. That's not a good comparison.
Yeah. It's funny though, because when I did my comparison between the two, what I heard was that the music quality of the music in the soundtrack I felt was better on the DTSX.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's so close.
Yeah.
But I just felt the DTSX had a little bit more of an edge. But
okay.
They were both fine.
Fine. They're both. That's a great disc, I think, for audio. I think it's a fantastic disc. And like when I was trying to go for scene, like the three scenes I chose were like an action scene, which was the first one. An Atmos scene, because I knew a lot of people comments over the years have been DTS has bumped atmosphere, you know, Atmos or overhead speakers, I should say, not Atmos speakers, but they have, they tend to bump them, or they tend to bump the bass. But again, that's in the sound mix. That's not, that has nothing to do with the codec. That's just the sound mix, right?
And that's why when I do my comparisons, I try to listen to the music side of it.
Yeah.
Right? How the music sounds, because the effects, because the effects part of it, right?
Yeah.
That's going to change between the two codecs, right?
Yeah.
So I just try to listen to the music side of the quality of the music, the way the music sounds.
And you're a two-channel guy that you love to listen to music. I'm not really a music guy, so I wouldn't. Yeah. I'm more of the effects guy. I'm like, hey, woo.
So to me, the sound quality that I heard from the music side of it, I felt was better. But I didn't listen to effects or bass or anything like that. Just what the music was sounding like.
Yeah.
But that's my thoughts on that.
That's great. You know? That's a great thought. I like that. I like that. Here's the thing. It's like you said, it is so close. It's like you'd have to, like you did, you have to AB back and forth to even hear any kind of barely noticeable difference. And it's like, that's where it's like, I've said that about going from 5.1 to DTSX, right?
Right.
If I played you like the Bourne series, on Kaleidoscape, it doesn't have DTSX. Same with Jurassic Park, for honestly.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's right. The Universal ones are usually like that,
Yeah, on Kaleidoscape, they don't have it. I don't know why. But if you come over and you play, I give you a Bourne scene, and I told you it was DTSX, you'd be like, oh, that's fantastic. And then you went home and put your disc in, and you'd be like, wow, that sounds just like it. The same, you know what I mean? That you'd have to AB it, and you can hear a difference there. Like, and I've done that with the Bourne series. I did it with Jurassic Park, the first Jurassic Park. And there are pluses and minuses to both. Like the bass is definitely a little bit punchier on the DTSX, but sometimes like, and I've used this on the show, is like that chase scene in the first Bourne movie, Bourne Identity. And you get the music, and you're like, the music in that scene is fantastic, because it actually pans around you, around the room, as the car is spinning around corners and stuff. The music moves around you. I felt the detail there was way, way better or nicer on the 5.1 as opposed to the DTSX, which I thought was interesting. But then, you know, your bass, your gunshots and your explosions and stuff, I thought were a little punchier on the DTSX. But again, if you just watch the movie beginning to end, you're not really noticing a difference. It's
So,
but that's good. That's interesting. You said that about the music. I didn't think of that. So
Cool. Listen to the way the music sounds in the background and tell me if you hear that difference, you know?
Oh yeah.
Between the two. Yeah. Yeah. There's another scene that I want to go through real quick with you.
All right.
That I was watching Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
The new guys, you know, well, not the new guys, but the last couple of movies that came out.
Yeah.
That's the one with Khan, the guy that, the same actor that does Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah,
he plays Khan, right?
Yeah.
Chapter 5. In Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay.
There's an Atmos scene there that's so, like, so good.
Chapter 5.
Just put Chapter 5. And it's a scene where Kirk is on the captain's chair and he's talking over a PA system.
Yeah.
Right? He's talking over a PA system. And then the next scene cuts over to Dr. Marcus, who's walking in the engineering area of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And his voice clearly, so clearly, goes from top right, as he's talking. He's talking, you know, that he has to go get this guy because this guy, you know, so he wants the crew to be ready. His voice comes from the top right speaker. It pans to the center top and ends up to the left.
Oh.
So clear. It's like, that's like the best Atmos I ever heard. And also the scene in the beginning when they're shooting They're in that planet and they're shooting those arrows. Yep. Those aliens are shooting and they're running through the man, that Atmos sound on that was like, whoa, what? It's like so, so clear. You got to check that out and let me know what you think.
I'll fire it up. Yeah, that's it's funny you said that because that's another one I'll be talking about on Friday is that Hunter Killer, that movie. Uh-huh. And there's an Atmos effect in that that's really nice. And it's similar, like he gets onto the microphone in the sub to update everybody. And they go early on in the movie, he's telling everybody, you know, it's Gerard Butler, and he's in the room that he's in. You hear him in that room in the control room of the sub, right? But then they start to go to different parts of the sub, and in different rooms, there's a different echo effect, and it's all from overhead. And it was actually
awesome,
isn't it? And it's like it's stuff like that that they easily could have just put the same exact echo effect in each room, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. They varied it, which was, I thought, really cool because you're like,
yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't have cared. It's stuff like that, that even you and I wouldn't have been like, oh, well, that room's different than that room, so it should sound better, because once you're into the movie, you're just into the movie.
Right.
To me, it jumps out to you that you're like, they put in those minute details, and I think that's just great. It's just, but yeah, that's, Sonic 2 has a good overhead Atmos effect that Mike Schramm noticed, and it's the same type of thing. I talked about it a couple weeks ago in the podcast. It's a voice overhead, and it's really nice overhead. And it's like when you get that voice coming out of your overhead speakers, that's that. You know, you remember getting the demo discs or the test discs back in the 90s that would like, now we're going to do a walk around your room. And you were like, and you'd hear the guy talk. And
I still have those there.
And that's how we used to test our speakers to see if they were like, they matched, because we were like, I'm going to do the walk around the room. And then you go from like the left to the center to the right, and you'd be like, ooh, he sounds really good. I'm going to walk around the room. Now I should be.
Check the priority of the speaker connections. You know?
The polarity. Yep.
Yeah, polarity.
See that? But it's like, I had that Frankenstein system, right? So he'd be like, I'm going to do a walk around the room, and right now, you should be hearing me in your right corner.
Now
I'm in your left corner.
I have that. It's some stereo file.
And then I'd be like, no. Now I'm back at the front of your room. I'm like, I got to get new speakers. Those don't match.
What struck me on that Star Trek scene was the pen.
Yeah.
In the top.
Oh.
That was so, it was so clear that he's like right here, and you hear the voice just pan right over the top of you.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
And it, like you said, though, like you started with a good two-channel system. That's your base. And then everything is big. And that's how we started. It's like, I've said it before. I did that demo where it sounded like Atmos, and this was in the 90s, early 90s, and it was two channels, but they had the sounds behind it. The way they manipulated the sound in a good two-channel system, they can do all this. It's like all these extra speakers are just so that more people can experience the same thing at the same time, right? And but that's what's going on over your head. You get a great pan because they're going back to basics, and they're using those two channels to move that and make it sound like it's coming from in between, which is awesome.
That's right.
And we love that stuff.
It's fantastic. I had a question too regarding front speakers or just main speakers. What's your stance on that? You always mentioned that you want a neutral sounding speaker, right?
Yeah.
Right. And, you now hear this, right?
Yep.
Because they're very neutral sounding, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just a little confused with it. Maybe you can help me out. Like, if you have speakers that are neutral in sound, and they're different manufacturers, right? So let's say you have NHT and whatever, SVS. Or someone else has, right? Or no, not SVS. Let's say you're just like the ones that Rob has that he says are very neutral.
Not Focal. What does he have? I know what you're talking about. But Right? What about
So they're not, both of them are natural sounding speakers. So what makes them different in sound quality if they both are neutral sounding, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know. Right? So what makes that sound difference that makes you choose your speakers over the one that he has that are, but they're both neutral sound?
Right.
Shouldn't they sound the same?
They,
because it's neutral?
They should. But I think like Rob has some really nice speakers, right? They're they're expensive. I believe, I wish I could remember off the top. I should just text them. I believe a lot, like when you get higher up in quality, in price, some of that money goes to the design too and how they look, right? Because people display them. NHTs are, they're supposed to be more like functional than they are artistic, okay?
Right.
So from what I understand, now if we're getting into like, because I've explored this myself, and I actually asked AV Rant way back when, before I knew them, I said, what would be a good, and they agreed, like NHT is a good speaker. You, and when I bought them, it was like, you could spend $2,000 a speaker, and it would sound very similar to a $500 NHT speaker, okay? And what you're paying for at the higher end, in from what I understand, like when you go above and beyond that, is it's still going to be neutral, but it's going to be more accurate, just like our projectors, just like anything else. The more money you spend, it's, you know, diminishing returns. But now we're getting into like, so just like a subwoofer, right? Let's go with the basics of that. It's like, how fast can that woofer react and recover from making that sound and then be able to make the next one? You know what I mean? So like the actual movements of the speaker come into play when you start paying more money and you get a higher end speaker. They're both neutral, but one, as you get up in price, I think is just going to be more accurate. And again, we're dealing with compromises here, right? And it's like an NHT is $500 and for the C series that I have, $500 a channel, relatively. And it's going to reproduce a neutral sound, which means it's not going to be too bright. It's not going to be too like, you know, a little, I believe like a B&W is considered like a warmer. So it's like, it's not as bright or something. However you're going to look at it, however you're going to rank your speakers, right? But it's trying to play everything as neutral and down the middle, as opposed to a Klipsch, which may, they got a horn tweeter. They might be a little bit brighter and you'll notice that in it. Right. The other debate that people have is like, well, once we're doing room EQ, can't we just tone all that out? Right. But ideally, just like you don't want to do that, right? You want to have, you want your room to be treated so that you have to do as little room EQ as you can, because room EQ is a compromise, because now we're going to manipulate the sound to get it into your room and sound as good as possible. Right. But if you can have your room correct, that's less manipulation, less compromise on that. Same with your speakers. If, in my opinion, that's why I like neutral. I have less, I'm not brightening up the sound. I'm trying to give you, I'm trying to get exactly what was supposed to be given to me. Yeah. But to your point about like Rob speakers, they probably are just more accurate, but it's still a neutral sound. It's not a higher pitch. It's not an average higher, you know, that's what I would say, like with a Klipsch or something, or a horn tweeter or something. So,
But but in the end, I mean, it's what you prefer, right?
Oh yeah.
What you like, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, cause you could have a neutral sounding speaker and Rob might go to your house and say, I don't like your speakers. Or you might go to Rob that, you know what? I don't like the way those sound.
Because it has to do with the room too, how the room's set up, how, like, now I'll pick a neutral sounding speaker and I'll calibrate my room to my liking. And then do you like that? You know, and if you're running anything hot in your room, like your rears or your overheads or something, it's going to sound different, even though all my speakers are neutral, it's been calibrated, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not doing that. And you're going to be like, this room doesn't, it's I like my room better. I like, of course you do. That's your room. It's calibrated right. for you. Right. And that's, again, these are all the, that's all the compromises, right?
Right.
But ideal, that's what I like about home theater too, is that at least we do have a basis. We have something called reference level. So ideally in your room, like reference level at my theater, reference level in your theater, at reference level at Rob's over in, you know, Canada, it should, mm-hmm. that should be the same volume, regardless of yeah. the room size. And it's like, if you're hitting reference level, it should be the same in all those rooms, right?
But you'd be surprised, because some, there's speakers that won't be able to handle reference level.
Depending on the size of the room.
Then,
Yeah.
So well, you can put a reference level and be like, ah,
right.
it's too loud, or it started to, it starts to distort too, the sound, right. you know?
Well, if you don't have the proper amount of room treatments, there's no room EQ that's going to be able to allow you to get to reference level, because you're just going to be shooting out too much sound, and it's going to be bouncing around that room for too long, right. that it's going to muddy everything and make it sound louder, right? Because you're right. like, you're competing against so much that you're like, I can't handle that. You're like, that's too loud. Yeah. So, yeah. but if you can, if you get the right amount of room treatments, you turn it up mm-hmm. to reference level, all you're hearing is what's coming from the speakers. That's the right. that's the ideal, and it's not going to sound as loud, and you'd be surprised, be like, that's reference level. Yeah, that's reference. Right. I mean, it's still right. loud, don't get me wrong, my mm-hmm. house shakes, but yeah, it's
yeah it's so. Interesting.
What did you think about that, about what would, did you have any thoughts on that? Because I mean, you know more about speakers yeah. than I do. I think you were, I think you were trying to trap me there, buddy.
not at all. I was just wondering, because it you know, it's a thing that people always say, try to get a neutral sounding speaker, you know? But my whole thing was like, get a pair of speakers that sound right to you. And then when you get them in your room, right. do your paneling, do whatever you have to do to get them to sound, to get them to sound their best.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
I think it's good to know what a neutral sounding speaker sounds like, so that then you have a basis of, you know, especially as you get into this, right? Like when you're yeah. first starting out, like anything else, just, you know, get some speaker, because you don't know what you like or don't like yet.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's good to know as you're going along. You might find out later on, like you might have had like speakers that are bright and not known it, but you just really liked it. But then someday you try neutral, what would be considered a neutral sounding speaker, and be like, no, right. that sounds too flat to me. Right.
Right,
you're not.
I have a friend like that now that
yeah.
he's always had Bose, right? That's all he knows is Bose, right?
Oh.
So he has a pair of 901s, you know, the old style 901s. And they have a lot of output, you know, they can go really loud, you know, but they just don't have, to me, that the quality, the instruments don't sound like instruments to me. It just sounds like a big speaker, you know?
Right.
And even to this day, you know, he's a Bose guy, and there's nothing that I could do to make him change his mind.
Right? Yeah, but that's the thing, is right. there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, if you right. like it, and knock yourself out, because that's yeah. what it's all about at the end of the day. It's like,
yeah.
but it's funny when I go on to some of the forums and you see people telling people what they need to do, and it'd be like, sometimes the person didn't even ask that. I don't want right. to change my speaker. Oh yeah, but these are better. What I have here is better than what I get that on my podcast. I used to get Jesus. Comments like that on YouTube and stuff, and I'll be like, oh, thank you very much, I'll take it under advisement. But I'm like, the whole podcast was about so a movie funny. Or something, and people will write in to tell me that I should get a better system.
Yeah.
Why?
What?
One, I can't. I feel like I'm doing pretty good, you know, but people, that's where it gets a little bit pushy. I think all of this is about compromises, but at the end of the day, it's all about us.
Right.
And that's like, mm-hmm. what you have is what you want and what you like, right. and you make your theater yours. Right.
Right.
And then we all look at them and we like to see, like, I love seeing other people's theaters, because it's going to, not because I'm trying to compete, I'm just trying to get ideas for my theater. And it's like, you know, you and I keep talking like we've got to get to each other's theaters, and that'll happen someday.
right.
But it's like, but when you do that, it's not, you're not driving home. You're not going to drive home from here and you're going to be like, oh, mine's way better than DJ's. You're going to be like, oh, that was really cool. That was
good. Yeah.
I like what he did there. And it's like, wow, he got pretty far with little knowledge.
Exactly. But, exactly. It's like the projector thing, you know, Sony against ABC. That's another thing, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, come on, they're both good, you know. They're both good. So you pick the one you like, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Don't look back. Don't look back. Yeah. I mean, we all know. It's like, enjoy your stuff. And that's why I wanted to do a podcast about content, right?
Right.
Because that's the equalizer for all of us. It's like, well, let's watch some content. And it's like, what it is in your room, what it is in my room. We all like to do that. And it's like, we kind of lose focus, pun intended, of like, what are we doing here? Like, oh, but you should be getting this. And you should be like, no, I'm like,
no.
You know, that's when I went to the Marantz, I'm like, part of the idea of going to that Marantz was it was going to be an easy, easy transition going from the Denon. And I didn't have to do a lot of extra research and tweaking and learning. Right. It was going to be a plug and play type thing. And I could get right back into my content because that's what I want to do at this point.
Right. Yeah. So, like, I never thought you would get into separates. Like,
oh, I've been dying to.
Yeah.
My whole life.
You started, with the receiver. But that's something that I've always, I have one receiver in my whole entire, you know, the whole time that I've been doing this, I had, I remember I got a Sony receiver that had some kind of fake surround sound. And I bought a pair of small speakers for the front and the back. And that was the only receiver I ever had. I always had separates. I had NAD.
Yeah.
The NAD stuff. I had Adcom stuff back in the day, B&K.
Yep.
And like I told you, I had to buy a new amp because the Rotel amp, the big amp that I had, I started getting distortion. I'm sure I could have gotten it fixed.
Yeah.
By some transistor in there or something that just went bad. And it was just easy to just go buy another amp and then just attach it to my pre-pro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? So how are you liking your separates right now?
I love it. I'm loving it. And it's, I wish there was a way to, a simple way to AB that, right? And to be able to like have my system be like, okay, now hear that same scene on the receiver. All I can do is go off of, you know, muscle memory really of scenes that I've seen and been like, it's so funny now. Obviously having added the Lumigen and now going to this, and I'll put a scene on and I'll be like, oh my God, I haven't seen this movie since the Lumigen and this now, not just the Marantz. Right. So now I'm listening to.
You get double dose.
Yeah, you're getting like, wow, what an upgrade in all like the picture and now with the sound. And to your point about the music, that's the first thing that jumped out at me when I played that Star Wars scene, in that depth of the detail in the bass, in the drums, in that opening scene from Star Wars: A New Hope, and the you know, and you'd be like, and you're like, holy! And I said, my son was going to bed. I had to text him because you know he was two floors away. I didn't want to run up the stairs, so I had to text him. I'm like, you got to hear this. Come down, and I put him in my seat. And what I found interesting is that he's typically one that, Dad, you're much better than this at this than I am. He goes, I think it's pretty much the same, right? And that's usually his go-to line. And his eyes went wide on this one, and he was like, "Oh wow!" I go, "Do you see what? Do you feel what I'm talking about here?" And he goes, "Yeah." And so we backed it up and we played it again. And what I the other thing I felt was really good is, and I'd liken this to when I put the sound absorption at the back of the room and how it clarified my, my center channel, this was like where you got that little bit more bass. It's like at reference level, there were times in the past, especially, those horns could be painful, right?
Right.
When that first, that open it, and what is it, trumpets or something? It's like in that score. And you're like, oh my God, my ear. Well, this felt like it evened that out, like the bass coming up, and it's like everything felt nice and clean. And nothing was too high, and your lows were really punchy, and it was there was just a lot more detail there. It was just a lot nicer to, and we backed it up a bunch of times and watched it, and it's
and that's the beauty of it, because you could give it more output, and it's just easier for the amps to handle that, you know.
Yeah,
where even though they could be rated at the same power, you know, like it's 110 each, and you're even having more power on your receiver at 150, that 110 could sound much better than the 150, you know?
Well, the receivers, I mean, we all know that. The amplifiers and the receiver, they're all borrowing, because it's like, well, it's never everything running. Now, when you're running separate, you're getting that clean 100% of the power that it needs whenever it needs it. There's no borrowing, right? What I found was funny, let me ask you this, because you know more about speakers and stuff. So my NHTs are rated for like 65 watts.
Right.
But I'm running 200 to them. Yeah, obviously, I'm never going to hit that. I'm never going to utilize that, because my room
and
is not big.
And it's the power you're feeding is nice, clean power.
Right.
Right. So it probably handles it just at ease. Okay. You know, it's like having a bigger subwoofer. You don't really need it, but it just makes it easier to handle. The room can handle it easier. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, like I bought PB16 Ultras, knowing that it's kind of an overkill for the room, right? But I could adjust for that, and the bass is handled easily in this room. And I know that there's much better subwoofers out there that could probably do just as good as a job, but, you know, PB16s are overkill already.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. From what I understood, and getting back to your question about the, you know, neutral sounding and stuff, learning about subwoofers over the years, it's like the more money you spend, it's that how quickly that thing can recover from making that sound to give you that next bass. Where we're really probably in our rooms, we're not really utilizing that. We're not going to ever find that. We don't need that. So you're spending spend thousands and thousands of dollars on these things that, you know, and for an upgrade that you're probably never even going to get. You're never even going to hear it. It's like, I mean, I run my subs. I have the PB2000s. I have two of them in my little room. And they're both turned up to like 3, right? Yeah. On the volume. So to your point, it's like, I'm never utilizing that full amperage of it, which means that it's, you know, you're getting everything you can out of the track, and you're not lacking anything there.
Not lacking, and you won't get any distortion or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all good. The company that makes my speakers, made a subwoofer that was designed back in maybe the 80s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talk about having that quick response for bass. What they did was add 3 8-inch subs into one big cabinet.
Oh, wow.
So you can get quick response. And those subwoofers did a great job throughout all the, I had them and they were fantastic. They just didn't have that tactile, experience.
Didn't get low enough.
Right. For organ music and things like that. So they didn't go that low, but for most of the music, they were fine, and they sounded great, those subs, you know?
Yeah, music doesn't usually get as low as a movie from, you know, it's just doesn't. And no, I mean, movies are going for explosions and all of that good stuff to give you that.
Yeah.
And most of that's the rumble, right? It might be even a background rumble in a particular scene, like in Jurassic World or something, like something ominous is about to happen, and you'll get the, and that's that lower stuff, right?
So I saw a good movie yesterday.
What's that?
With Nicolas Cage. Massive Talent, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah, you saw that? How was it? It was good?
It was silly, but it was hilarious.
Did you buy it or rent it?
I rented it on the Kaleidoscape, and it was awesome. It looked great. And he plays himself
yep.
in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny, man. And Pedro Pascal from Mandalorian.
Yep.
You know, he's in it. They were funny. They were that group. Those two guys were hilarious, man.
Yeah. Came out, my son and I have been looking to watch that together. But we just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it yet.
It's a good guy, you know, guy type of like, you get a couple of beers, watch that. You'll get some laughs out of it.
Not worth owning though.
Just
rent it.
It's not just rent it and watch it. Enjoy it for what it is. I don't know if you're going to want that.
Good home theater stuff.
You know, it had some explosions, some gunshot, you know, but nothing major either. But it was pretty funny, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I like Nick Cage.
Yeah. Know? Same here. Same here.
You know?
Let's get back into Top Gun a little bit.
Oh. Top
Gun. So I think I said it in the podcast. Yeah, I did. I said it in the podcast last week. I did the demo for my wife. I had the opening scene. I was like, here, watch this. And we watched it on iTunes. And then I put on the Kaleidoscape. She's like, now that's a difference.
But wait a minute. You're talking about Star Wars or Top Gun?
Top Gun.
No, but it's the same thing almost.
I know. So a little bit, let's go spoiler free. But what did you think? Did you notice that I did all of the references to Star Wars in Top Gun Maverick? Did you notice those? Like, the mission is
right.
pretty much the mission. It's the same thing. It's like, I remember I saw it in the theater and I looked at my son. I was like, what the? I mean, there were so many little drops of like Star Wars in there. And right. it's like, right. I know most people listening have seen it, but if you haven't seen it, that's just a fun game to go through and be like, that's got to be a Star Wars reference. That's got to be a Star Wars reference right there. There's a ton of them. There's a ton of them. Yeah. It's so good. And the action sequences and I want to ask you this because you're doing you're changing the aspect ratio with the Lumigen.
Yep.
Those IMAX shots. When they get into, I think it was more, in my opinion, I think it was more about their faces than it was about the planes and the view mm-hmm. that you were getting. I mean, and it is spectacular in full IMAX right. screen, what you're seeing there, but to see their faces and they did put a lot of emphasis on this. I've seen some of the behind the scenes stuff and they put a lot of emphasis on what those actors went through to, for all intents and purposes, almost become pilots, right? And like they can't fly the planes, but what they're experiencing there is, mm-hmm. I mean, you see that on their face. And I think that's why they did the IMAX shots. And that's why it was so important to even on the Kaleidoscape to have that variable aspect ratio.
Absolutely.
How did it look on the, with the Lumigen, you know?
It's fine. I know that detail is there, you know, but I'm sure it would be better and if I seen it as native aspect ratio, you know,
yeah,
in IMAX, but it's there, it looks great. I mean, it's funny though, because like Kaleidoscape released a Dark Knight, right?
Yeah,
reformatted correctly for 2.3, you know, for
4K screen. Is 2.4.0, right?
Yeah, they got to do that with Top Gun because I had to use the Lumigen to correct that aspect ratio so it's viewable on my screen.
Right.
Where with and then it does its processing and then it does its scaling where something like Dark Knight, those IMAX scenes are done at the studio, I guess wherever they did it at,
right.
at Kaleidoscape, and they're the correct aspect ratio. So no scaling involved with that. So they need to do something similar to that with Top Gun for the Kaleidoscape. And have both versions.
Dark Knight, I think the HD version actually has the variable aspect ratio.
Oh, on the Kaleidoscape?
Yeah.
So they need to, they can do that. And you know what? I don't know if you noticed with Kaleidoscape, it's been a lot of updates.
Yeah.
Thrown at you. Like, I have the original West Side Story.
Oh, okay. I don't own that one, so I didn't get the update.
Yeah. And I got the update, and it's in UHD.
Oh, so they went from Blu-ray to the update. Okay, yeah. I haven't experienced that yet. I'm too new.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
No, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. Did you need to take that?
No.
Okay.
So they need to do something similar with Top Gun, but I tell you what was I?
I don't know. You got a phone call.
Yeah.
No, you were just talking about the aspect ratio and do something similar, like have Maverick come out with just a standard, right, instead of the variable.
You're too far without the variable. And as an update, because they could do it, obviously, now, because they've been doing it more. Mm. So now with, like West Side Story, like I told you, I looked it up.
Right.
And it was UHD. That's another thing that Kaleidoscape does that's pretty cool. A lot of the older films, they don't feel that the HDR is necessary. So they'll give you the 10-bit. They'll give you the 10-bit color.
Yep.
And the 4K resolution.
Yeah, UHD, but not
The UHD.
HDR. Right. That's where I learned what that meant. It wasn't until I got the Kaleidoscape. I'm like, all right, let me look this up. HDR and UHD. So. Yeah, you're getting all the color. You're just not getting the high dynamic range.
Right.
But you don't necessarily need it, you know.
Right. Well, it improves like the UHD version of, like, for West Side Story, on the HD version, it's going to be an 8-bit color instead of 10-bit color with the UHD. And then, of course, the higher resolution. Mm-hmm. And with film, it's important because you can actually get on real film, you can actually get that resolution out of it.
Right.
Where if it's a newer movie that's shot digitally, it really doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, you're getting.
But all the other, and they did the same thing with Lawrence of Arabia, right? Lawrence of Arabia is just UHD with 4K resolution, 10-bit color. But the new disc that they released in that box, and now they just released it individually.
Yeah,
it's HDR on the disc.
It's in it. So, it is beautiful too. It's,
yeah, that's... and I did a comparison between the UHD and the HDR. Mm-hmm. On those Lawrence of Arabia, and it's so difficult to see the difference.
Yeah,
you know,
it really is, and it's because it's such a vibrant movie, though, right? The way it, and I think where HDR to me really shines, it's not necessarily in the movies that are very bright, because that you're seeing that brightness, whether it's HDR or just UHD. But it's in the movies like The Batman, where you have to have that nuances, all those nuances. Otherwise, you're going to lose detail, right? Because it's kind of funny to say it, but like The Batman almost feels like it's not HDR, but it really is.
Right, exactly.
Because it's so, it feels like it might be washed out, but the HDR is enabling you to shoot it that way and be able to see it that way and have all those details in those darker, especially those darker scenes. So it's, that to me is where I think HDR really shines. It's like you put a bright image on the screen next to a dark image, and we've been doing that for 50 years. And it's like, to actually get that tight gradation in a darker scene, like in The Batman, that's where HDR to me really shines.
Right.
Pun intended again. Look at that. The aspect, the one last thing I'll say on the aspect ratio of Top Gun, though, and I can't wait for you to see it without the other, whatchamacallit, without the Lumigen doing its thing. I think it's part of the movie. The way they manipulate that and go into those scenes and then open it up for you, it really does work in the movie. And it's like, because there are times in the movie when they don't do it and you want them to, and they're still in the jets and you're like, why isn't it there? And then it comes on and you're like, oh, it's like, it really does toy with you and make you like, makes you part of the movie. It really puts you into the pilot seat and you're like, here we go. And you're so excited. And it's, and I think that's what this movie's all about. Right. And you know, I mean, it's a definition of a blockbuster. I can't think of the last time I was this excited about a movie.
Yeah. And it's funny though, because it looks like Tom Cruise, he likes to do the IMAX scenes a lot, cause he's done it in the past with the Mission Impossible movies as well.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
Right. So, So it's a director's intent, or, you know, because you have who's the other guy? Christopher Nolan loves to do it, right?
Yep.
The Dunkirk was amazing like that, right?
Yep. Oh yeah.
So that's why I have to get myself another screen to put in front of the 235, because I miss that, you know?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And you could do it on yours, you'd just be shrinking down your screen. But you would literally, that would be great to do. You'd be doing what I got to figure out which way Ralph went, but it would be nice to have that big 16x9 come down in front of your,
right,
the same way, really, but now it's just taller, right? And you just drop that down right in front. So impressive looking, so cool. It's just like,
it'll give you an IMAX feel, like, oh, this is IMAX, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That, and that's the point, really. Right. And it's like, that's what we're all going for, is that, you know, that experience, that environment that you're trying to duplicate and be like, oh, I mean, having a nice wide 240 is nice, but I think it's a little bit more impressive that when you hit a button and that big screen comes down, same width, but now it's just, you know, it's taller, as opposed to me getting up and go, watch this. And I pull out two pieces of foam, mask.
It's so funny though, that you say that, because with my screen, Stuart makes panels for the side.
Right.
Right. For your 185 image, for your, you know, 16:9 stuff.
Yeah.
And I bought those panels. I used them once.
Yeah.
Well, because the black level is so good already on the JVC that.
Right. Oh, oh, really? So you don't even mind the black bars on the sides?
Not for TV viewing.
Not for TV.
Like if I'm watching a movie that's 185, I'll throw them on. But if it's a ball game,
right. So that's a great idea right there. Is a lot of people talking with Travis and talking with Todd from AV Nirvana and stuff, and they're like, I like to watch my TV. I don't like my TV viewing to be just as big as my movie viewing. Right. But if you're doing, like you said, like, I'm going to watch television, you're going to put it on your 240 screen, but it's going to be cropped to the middle, right? So that's the smallest. And then when you go to a movie, you go that full 240, you go the full width. But now we're going to IMAX, and we're like, dun, dun, dun. Now, you know, you can't even play that music. And now the screen comes down in front of it. Ta-da. That's fantastic. But again, you have to have that space above and below your wall, above and below your screen, right?
Exactly.
So that gets back to my original point. Like, maybe you can't afford to do every step you and I just talked about.
Right.
Then you would buy a 16x9 screen and fill that whole space on the wall. Right. Yeah. And then, you know, and then mask out like I did. I mean, I could literally do that same thing. If my projector had the settings, I could set my projector up to be, actually, I could already do it 16 by, make it a native 240, put my masking in all the time. Right. And then, so when I'm watching a football game or something, it'll be cropped into the middle like a television.
Yeah, the Lumigen will do that for you.
Right. It'll be right into the middle, but my masking's up there all the time. But then when I get a movie that is a 16x9 movie, I pop my masking out and I change that setting back to 16. That's another way you could go, too. Yeah. That actually would be just as impressive. That would be nice,
too. Yeah. I think ideally what you want is to get the biggest 16:9 image that you can get.
Yeah.
So if you can get, let's say your ideal 16:9 image is 110 inches, right?
Right.
Let's say that's your idea. Then realistically, what you should do is get a 235 screen that could put 110 inch right in the middle.
Right.
So when you watch it, when you watch it 235, that'll be the biggest, but you still have a nice big 110 inch in the middle.
Right. Exactly. That's what it would be. I mean, because you're only limited. I mean, you can only go as wide as you can go. So you should always go as wide as you can go. But like I said before, I'm like, don't ever limit yourself in either direction. If you have space above and below, get a 16x9 and mask it out when you're watching 240. If you can only go so tall, get the 16x9 and be like, look, I can't go any taller or lower. So this is all I could fit for a 16x9 screen anyways. So that's all I could do. So there you go. That's what you go with. Right. Yeah, it's I think it's funny when you see the people debating, and it's like you've chosen, but you didn't you can't choose until I know what wall we're putting this on.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not really a preference; it's what you can put on the wall.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's
and the way I'm doing it, the way I'm planning to do it with the screen coming down, I can't do 120 and 69; it won't fit.
Right.
I told
right.
you that.
Right. Right.
So, but I can do bigger than what I have now.
Right.
I can do 100, right?
Right.
I can do 100 inch for my 16.9 or 105, yeah. And it'll fit. But I can't do 120.
120, which is the width of what you have.
Of
what it right. would be, but you don't have the space above and below for right. that.
So, correct.
Right.
That's correct.
But yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. That would be nice. Yeah. Cool. All right.
Awesome.
You got anything else?
I do not. I mean, I think we covered a decent amount of stuff today, huh?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. It's nice we finally got one of these conversations recorded again.
Yeah, it was great. It's awesome. It's always awesome to talk to you, you know?
Oh, I know. We'll talk when I'm at work.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah, whoa, whoa. Like yeah. What's that noise? That's my sander. But
that's right.
Nelson, thank you very much. Congratulations, buddy. I mean, it just all worked out perfectly. It's the anniversary of Takeover Tuesday. It's the first Takeover Tuesday guest that I had on, which I was psyched to have you on for that. That's what I wanted. I'm like, but yeah, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And
you're very welcome.
I've been watching that poster go behind you the entire time, and you did have Top Gun Maverick poster behind you. A little bit ago. I almost was going to say something. I was like, oh, you got the Top Gun Maverick poster going too.
Yeah. So,
really cool.
I'm going to send you the video for the video tour.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll get to that. Right. I got ideas. We'll talk off air about that. I got another idea for that too. That I'm really excited about. So we'll talk off air about that too. So,
all right. Excellent.
But yeah, we got to get together, buddy. I've met Ara, and he lives in California.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
Yeah, you actually moved closer to me, and we still haven't gotten together yet.
I know. It's, you know, my schedule sometimes, like right now same with here. My work, I'm like, I'm going to be away for about 2.5 months, you know?
Away?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I have, yeah. But it's only New York, and between New York and D.C., so it's not too far.
Okay.
I have a lot of shows coming up.
Oh, you're not... Oh, you do trade shows, right? Something like that.
That's right. Yeah.
You're not going to CD, are you?
No, that's not our show anymore. It used to be.
Used to be.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go to that this year. It'll be my first time. I've never been, so I'm trying to get there, but we'll see.
They're entertaining, but they can become tiring at the same time.
Well, that I've heard that from people. People that go all the time, they're like, "Yeah, I've been there, done that," type thing. Whereas I've never been. And I'm like, and there's a lot of people I've met over, you know, through this over the past few years that I would love to get to meet in person that are going to be there. So there's a lot of reasons for me to get there, but I'm trying. Yeah. And my wife's like, you should really go. You should. And I'm like, I know. I go, but hey, if I don't make it, there will be another one. And it's like, I'll be able to go to that one. And, you know, eventually I'll get to one, but hopefully. But yeah, we'll get to you. So you'll be gone when? When are you back and your schedule's normal?
I'm leaving next week, and then I probably won't be back until the end of October.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool, because that'll be right around the time things are slowing down for me. So, you know, if you're around, I'm around, we'll pop in. So
You know what you should do? You should do a home theater tour and go to the people's home.
I know. I told you we will talk about it off.
I think that'll be perfect.
I know. You know what's so funny? And while you were spilling the beans anyways, Dan, my buddy Dan, who I call my buddy, I've never met him in person, but he lives two towns over. He's another one. And I've bought all the gear. I have the gear. I have the lavalier microphones. I've got all the stuff. Because I bought it over the years to try different things for the podcast, I just got to be able to get out there and do it. So hopefully when things slow down for me at work, right? and, you know, I get a rainy day and I see it on the schedule, be like, oh, it's going to rain. That's the other thing. I mean, all these things are coming up. We've had like the driest weather, which means for me, it's just busy for work. Yeah, I'm just out trying to make money.
It's good to get rain finally.
Yeah. Right. And if once we get some rainy weather and I get a rainy, crappy Saturday, which I haven't had because I work 6 days a week, if I have a rainy Saturday, that's what I would like to do. And that's what I've said. I'm like, I'll pop in. We'll come down, spend a few hours, do a whole HT tours and a podcast. And that's my idea.
Great, yeah.
So awesome. Look at you, Nelson, popping out ideas left and right. Boy, I'll talk about it to you later. You're like, here's an idea for you. I know. So, but yeah, that's
excellent.
I would love to do that and then have that take off and be able to do even more. Maybe, you know, pop out to, you know, Mike Schramm's or Johnny Speakers, hit those two in a week.
Make a vacation out of it, you know?
God, yeah.
Oh, forget about it.
Forget about it. That's my retirement. That's what I want to do. Just pop around and see home theaters. And talk home theater.
Yeah.
So who knows? Sky's the limit, buddy.
That's right.
I mean, I sat down and talked about all by myself. So, and now we're here. All right. Who knows? But all right.
Excellent.
Thanks, Nelson. I'll be back on Friday with Luke O'Brien from Kaleidoscape, who is the director of content, I believe is his title, over there. Can't wait for that. And John and I'll have, that's going to be a long podcast because I don't know how long I'm talking to Luke yet. And John and I usually go for a little while. Steve and I already recorded our portion. That's a good amount. Again, a little over 10 minutes. Again.
Oh, you got to ask Luke to add movies anywhere to Kaleidoscape.
What? And that, yeah, but that wouldn't work though, would it?
Sure.
I know it would work, but then that, all their stuff is supposed to be proprietary, isn't it? And now you can get your movies anywhere on Kaleidoscape?
But they could still make it, you know.
They did I know it in they the past. Could, but why would, as a business, why would you want to? Because it's supposed to be on your system. Why would you want any of your content that is all proprietary to go off of your system? Other than
It won't be off your system. It'll still, you'll get the movie.
Yeah.
Just like you would on your Apple TV, but it will be a, you know, downloadable, just like it won't be a stream, you know, it'll be the movie. You know, so like in the past, they had that digital downloads, the other company, what was it, Ultraviolet?
Okay. Did Kaleidoscape have that? They did that before? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk about that.
Oh, I'll try to work that in. Movies Anywhere, you said?
Movies Anywhere is that like what took over Ultraviolet, basically.
All right.
Because they had mentioned in the past that they were going to do it. So.
Oh, okay.
See where they're at with that.
I will ask them. I'll try to remember. I'll put that in the notes as soon as we're done here.
Okay, perfect.
My questions.
Yeah.
All right. But we'll be back on Friday. I'll be back on Friday with Luke and John and Steve, the whole gang. So thanks, Nelson.
You got it. Take care.
See everybody on Friday and go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.